We are on Shabbos, Daf Nun, and Mem Tesum Abeis. We are at the two dots towards the bottom. Just one ha'ara related to yesterday's discussion. Yesterday we mentioned that the source for Malachas HaMishkan is the source for Hilchos Shabbos is Malachas HaMishkan. That's what we know, the 39 Malachas. Whatever we did in the building of the Mishkan, we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. As Rashi explained, I wanted to pick up on this Rashi. Look at the last few skinny lines in Rashi. Heim zaru v'kasru simanim. They planted and harvested the simanim. Litzvoa tcheles v'oros elim. To dye tcheles and the hides. V'tachnu v'lashu nami. Litzvoa. And to grind and to knead. Rashi is talking about the simanim in order to dye the hides. Right? That's clearly making the curtains in the first place. That's not the daily activities in the Mishkan. That is the building of the Mishkan. Right? That's one of the Rashis in this Masechta that deals with the Mishkan source is the Binyan HaMishkan. I mentioned yesterday also Tzadik Beis later on in terms of the Levium carrying the Masos. Also there, Rashi seems pretty clear that it has to do with the Binyan HaMishkan. And we mentioned from Rav Haigon that it goes with the Avodas HaMishkan. But Rav Rishonim hold like Rashi that the Makar is Binyan HaMishkan. But that is all one source for Malach HaShabbos. There are two other sources that we've quoted in the past. I think we quoted it back on Dav Beis. Number one, there is a Tosfos in Maseches Psachim in the name of a Medrash. Tosfos in Arvi Psachim, Dav Kuf Yud Zayin of a Beis, quotes, L'man Tizkar Yom Tzeischa Me'erith Mitzrayim. So you remember that you went out of Mitzrayim all of your days. Tosfos says, L'kach Kavu Zeich Letzias Mitzrayim, V'shamati Meharam Sheyesh B'Medrash. I heard there's a medrash, says Tosas. Lefi shebe Mitzrayim avdu behem bi Yisrael b'farech. In Mitzrayim, they worked, they subjugated the Jews with difficult work, avodas parech, ve uparech ba'at bash vagal. And parech, if you use the at bash mechanism of darshaning of Chazal, the aleph switches with the taf, and the beis with the shin, and the gimel with the resh. You keep going. So perech in at bash is vagal vav gimel lamid, which is 39. Avodas parech. This is a medrash quoted in Tosfos. It's not just a late achron suggestion. Shehei malachas abraham chazarachas. So vagal is gematria 39. So that's a remez that they caused us to do. They wanted us to do avodas parech in the Mitzrayim. So too, when we were nigal, Hashem was mazir us on Shabbos not to do those lamites malachas, right? What we were forced to do, which makes beautiful sense and helps explain very easily how Shabbos is zeichel l'siyas Mitzrayim. Right? We know Shabbos is zeichel l'maaseh breishis, but one of the problems is what's the connection between Shabbos and zeichel l'siyas Mitzrayim? So according to this answer, it's beautiful that Shabbos is gufa because Shabbos helps remind us what we were forced to do in Mitzrayim, we're not allowed to do on Shabbos itself. So that's a second source. That's a totally different source for the 39 Malachas. Our Gemara has the Mishkan source, which is what we hold of, and Tosfos and Psachim, Kuf Yud Zayin Beis, quotes the Medrash. The third source is the Zohar and Parshas Pinchas, which Rabbi Sachs quotes, and that is that Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol created the world with the 39 Malachas. Says the Zohar. So too, as a remembrance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the 39 Malachas, and then he stopped Kaviyachol, so too, we stop from those same Malachas on Shabbos. Again, what does it mean? Those types of Malacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. Okay, either way, that's the Zohar. Okay, three different expressions of sources for Malachas HaMishkan, for Malach HaShabbos. Okay. But again, as we hold, Malachas HaMishkan, and that's why all the sources of Malachas Machsheves, it's based on the Mishkan, that is the source quoted, Halacha Lamaisa, in the Poskim. Says the Gemara now, we're on Memtes on the base towards the bottom. Begizet Semer ve'ein metaltalin. We mentioned back in the Mishnah, if you wrap it in Gizet Semer, if you wrap the, do your Hatmana, your insulation in Gizet Semer, so that's fine, but you're not allowed to move them. Ein metaltalin l'son. And that's what the Mishnah said, you have to figure out a way to pick up the pot cover and it'll fall down by itself. As we discussed, and we discussed in Rashi, why isn't it a basis? That was in the Mishnah on Amar Alf. So says Rava, Amar Rava, Lo Shanu Ela Shalot Taman Bahem. When do you say that it's muksa, these strands of wool? That's only if you haven't used it for Hatmana yet. Avot Taman Bahem Metaltel Nosan. But if you actually already used it to insulate, so then you are allowed to be Metaltel, right? Because you used it for insulation already. So obviously, it is not muksa anymore. So we're going to say that the Mishnah seems to be against that, but we'll see in a minute. So Eisveh, who may Rabbanan bar Yomei, L'Rava. So one of the Rabbanan, whose first day in the base medrash, Bar Yome asks Rava. Usually it takes a couple of days for people to get their feet wet and get used to the crowd. He was ready. The first day, he was ready asking questions. Tomnim v'gizei tzemer v'ein metaltel nosam. The Mishnah says, you do hatamana with gizei tzemer, you can't be metaltel, and kezadavosa. We go through the whole problem of how do you get the pot out. So you see, you're using it for hatmana, and it's still muksa. No tolasakisivei, no flos. I don't understand it. Ask the Gemara, how could Rava suggest that the Mishnah says that it is muksa even if you, only if you don't use it? So Eliyid Mar Hachi Yid Mar, this is what Rava meant to say. Or this is how we should understand it. Amar Rava. Lo shanu ela shalo yichdein lahatmana. Rava meant as follows. This is only when do we say it is muksa if you weren't miyachid, if you didn't designate it for hatmana. Rashi adds in one word, la'olam, forever. According to Rashi, it sounds like in order to designate something as non-muksa, it has to be forever. Meaning, what happens if I say, you know what, for this Shabbos, I'm going to use it. But afterwards, it's going to go back to its other purpose. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, according to the Pasha of the Gemara, so then that's still muksa. Still muksa. You used it for whatever purpose, but it's still muksa. So Rashi says, according to Rava, when do we say that it is not muksa shel yichdein? When do we say that it is muksa shel yichdein latmana? Ava yichdein latmana, but once you were miyachid for atmana, metaltel nosan, so then you're allowed to be metaltel it. Right, and that's why in our Mishnah, it could mean that you weren't miyachid it forever. Maybe you're using it right now, but you plan on using this wool to make a beged after Shabbos. So therefore, it's still in the world of muksa, and that's why you have to figure out how to get out the pot without touching the muksa. It's Bar Nami, ki asa Rabbi Namar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Asi Ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi. Rabbi also says, lo shanu ela shalo yichtan latmana, av yichtan latmana, mitatel nosan. Same thing that we have said. There is a discussion in the Rishonim about this issue. Again, Rashi just flips, gives his hand, he seems to say la'olam. The Rashba in a tshuva, Aleph Tuf Shin Nun Zayin, Od Heshiv. The dafka b'shiyichta lios omedes bekach v'lo sheyich yichta la'oso Shabbos bilvad. De'enze yichud klum. The Rashba seems to hold like Rashi. The Rashba is even more explicit. Right? It can't just be for that Shabbos. And the Argamar is quoted. Alma, afal gavze shetaman bahem. Even though you use it. Ein ze yichud hamatir. Ashi yichtenu latmanu l'shabbosos. V'lo Shabbos zu bilvad. That's what he says. It's got to be forever. And then he discusses, that is why, we're going to have Gemaras later on, where a person takes a rock and puts it on the top of a barrel. And the Shaila is, the Gemara talks about, the Mishnayos talk about, leaning over the barrel, so the rock falls off. I don't understand, says the Rashba. If you use the rock to cover the barrel, so you designated it, then it's not muksa anymore. Isn't that true? So says the Rashba, it must be not. It must be all those cases that we're still worrying about touching the muksa, that is, in a case where you were not miyached it forever. That is why it's still a problem. But if you were miyached it forever, so then let's say I have a rock, and I say forever and ever I'm going to use this rock for my barrel cover, well, of course it's not muksa anymore. But if it's only one Shabbos, so then it would still be a problem according to the Rashba and according to Rashi in one word. The Galus of Rashi even in one word. Other Rishonim have different readings of this Gemara. Yichtan Latmana doesn't mean that it's forever. It could be just you designated it, even just for the Shabbos. But maybe Yichtan Latmana means you happen to use it, but you didn't focus on the fact that you happen to use it, but you didn't have it in your mind, a conscious decision that this is no longer a muksa item, this is now a kli. You happen to use it, but it's not you had such conscious decisions on that. So if you say that, then you have to work out the other Gemaras with the rock and why that is still muksa. Okay, that's an important discussion in the Rishonim. Comes up the Maisa. What happens? I saw a discussion of some postkim. What happens if you some kids want to play a game outside on Shabbos and they use little rocks or they use sticks? So what do they have to do before Shabbos? Let's say they go outside on Shabbos, they want to play with it, so too late. What about before Shabbos? So what do they have to do before Shabbos? What if they say, yeah, we're going to use these rocks before Shabbos for the game, and that's it? So is that good enough? My focus we've shown him. Do you have to be miyachid forever? If you want to use something for a toy, for a game, do you have to say, oh, forever I'm going to use this, or just for this Shabbos I'm going to use it? So it could be, if you just use it for this Shabbos, so then it could still be it can still be muksa. It also gets into the issue of, maybe we'll get to this later again, terms of ktanim. Does the das of ktanim have any chisaron in terms of being mechin something for Shabbos? We'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, but first let's continue a little more. Says the Gemara, Ravina Amars. This was all one pshat. We said we changed Rava. We changed Rava, and Rava said lo yichtan lahatmana, and not just actual hatmana. Ravina Amar, Ravina is another pshat. You know, could be maybe you go back to the original Rava, but we're talking about different types of items, right? Bishel heftek shanu. The problem, if you just use it for hatmana, so then you don't have to be miyachid it, just using it for hatmana. Go back to Rava number one, that would be good enough. What are the cases where it's still a problem, even if you actually used it? That's bishel heftek, which seems to be types of wool that you plan to, you're maksei it because you're going to sell it. Merchandise. Rashi says, heftek ma'aracha gedola she'orchinu moshivin lahaksosan l'schora. So it's Ukimta. In our Mishnah, when it talks about even if you were tomein it, if you used it, it's still muksa. That's because we're talking about merchandise that is going to be sold, not specifically from Baal HaBayis materials. As we saw yesterday, it could be this very same item. If it's shel an uman and it's shel a Baal HaBayis, it could have different statuses depending on what the purpose of this item is. Tadi Nami Hachi, we also learned in the Tosefta. Gizei tzemer shel heftek imetatlan osan. V'im hiskinan balabayis lishtamish v'imetatlan osan. If balabayis wanted to use them, then the balabayis can be metaltel. Good. Tana rabba barbar chana kame derav. So the brisa in front of Rav was said, chariyo shel dekel shegidron le'etzim. A bunch of branches I got together and I gathered them to use for firewood. V'nimlach aleim liyeshiva. And then I decided, you know what? I want to use it to sit on. What kind of couches do they have in Talmudic times? They got a bunch of branches. They put maybe a nice blanket over it, and they sat on it. Right. So, what if I decided in the middle of after I already gathered them, I want to sit on them? So, tzarech lekasher. Tanakama holds. You have to do something in order to make it muchan. If it was gathered for firewood, you have to be mekashi. You have to tie them up before Shabbos. Rashi lehochiach shel yeshiva omdim. You have to do a maisa. That's mochiach. That this is now a kli. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, no, ain't sarach lekasher. No, you don't have to think. You don't have to tie it. As long as you thought about it. As long as you thought about it before Shabbos, that is good enough. Machshava can be the hachana. Hu tani la v'hu amar la. Rav Abachana said over this brisa in front of Rav, and he added on halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Right, all you have to do is to think about it, and in that way, you can make it muchan. And that is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Aruch Chaim and Simen Shin Chaf Sif Sifcha Shin Ches Sifchaf Shin Ches Chaf, which is a very long Simen all about items of Muksa. The Shulchan Aruch says Chariyo Shel Dekel Shekatzasam L'Sreifa Muktzim Heim Basel L'Taltolam Yashav Aleim Ami Bod Yom. If you sat on them beforehand, we're going to get to that. Mutter leishiv aleihem b'Shabbos. Then you could sit on them on Shabbos. V'kol shekeinim kashron leishiv aleihem. Surely, if you tie them, im chashav aleihem ibod yom leishiv aleihem afilu b'chol. Right? Or, if you thought about it. Sounds like from this Gemara, if you have a muksa item, right, branches, as long as you thought about using them on Shabbos for a kli, that is good enough. That's the pashas of the Gemara. The Kiddush of those last two words of the Shulchan Aruch is even if you thought about sitting about on them on weekday. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Eliyahu Rabbah, maybe you need on Shabbos. You had to think that you could use them on Shabbos, not just to use them on the Friday. Okay, but either way, the pashas of that Shulchan Aruch is that if you have a davar that's muksa machmas gufo, these branches, you're allowed to just think about it, and in that way, that's enough of a designation. Right? Does that work for rocks and dirt? Right, we'll have to see in the continuation of the Gemara. But that is the first brisa. Continuing, Itmar, another discussion of the Amoraim. Rav Amar Kosher. Rav says, like the Tanakhama previously, you have to tie it up. Shmuel Amar Kosher. Shmuel says, no, even just thinking about it. V'ravasi Amar Yoshev Afal Pishalo Kishev V'Afal Pishalo Kishev. Ravasi says, just using it. Even if you're mindless, you're not thinking about anything. You didn't tie it up. You didn't think about anything. You just actually used it. Says Rav Asi, that's good enough. And that's what we just saw is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If you actually use it as a kli, that's just as good. So Bishlama Ra. So this last discussion is in the Amoraim. So how do they fit with the previous Brisa that was quoted? So two of them are exactly the same Shita. Bishlama Rav, Hu D'amar K'Tanakama. So Rav went like the Tanakama, that you have to actually tie it. Ushmuel Nami, Hu D'amar K'Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. And Shmuel goes like Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. That's fine too. Ella Rav Asi D'amar Kaman. Rav Asi, who says Yashav is good enough. You don't have to think about it, you don't have to tie it up. Yashav, who does he hold like? So Hu D'amar K'Haitana. He holds like the different Tosefta. Right, Titania, three Prakim later. Says the Tosefta, Yotzin bipikorin ubitzipa. One is allowed to go out on Shabbos with pikorin, that is combed flax that you put on a wound in order to protect it, that your clothing doesn't scratch. Right? What's the purpose of a Band-Aid? A Band-Aid is, number one, to make sure there's no infection, but also so like my beged or my pit, whatever it is, doesn't scratch and open the wound. So that's what they had in those days also. Yotzin pipikorin upitzipa. You're allowed to go out with these items. Pikorin is comb flax. Tzipa is also menufas flax that you put on the maka. Bizman shetzvaon. As long as you were tzovea it v'karchan b'meshicha. And you tied it with strings to use for a bandage. I mean, you had to actually have done something to put it on the wound. Isn't this refuah b'shabbos? Right, Issa D'Rabbanan, we're going to have in three blot, Daf Nun Gimel. Right, we're going to have the Issa D'Rabbanan of Shfika Samamanim, Refuah B'Shabbos. Isn't this Refuah? So what's the answer? No. This is preventative. Preventing infection? That's not Refuah. Anything preventative on Shabbos is not called Refuah. And that's why if a person knows they're going to get heartburn from the Chalant, they're allowed to take the antacid before the Chalant to prevent a heartburn. But once they have the heartburn, it's not too bad, then nothing you can do about it. Anything preventative is mutter on Shabbos. That's not called refuah. If somebody feels a migraine about to come, so before the migraine hits, then you're allowed to take something to prevent the migraine. That's not called refuah. Chazawa goes there, shchika samamanim. You might be in a state of you know, you need the refuah so you can quickly grind. But Chazal says only once you're already sick. That's the gzeira. But if something is preventative, it's one of the heterim, four or five heterim in that sugya, and this is one of them, right? You're just preventing. Rashi says it right here. The lav lurefuah ninu, ela shelo yisru tumah bushav es makaso. It's preventative. Avali kamal bush d'alma. It's like any piece of clothing that you have on, but because it's preventative, it is not within the gzeira of refuah b'shabbos. So the Brisa says, you're allowed to put these on in order to, and go out, in order to prevent any type of infection. Lo tzva'an v'lo karchan b'meshicha. What if you didn't do it? Ein yotzin bahen. Then you can't go out with them. Why? What's the issue here that you can't go out with them? So Rashi holds it's an issue of hotza'ah. Rashi says, is it a malbush? Is it not a malbush? If you didn't color it, if you didn't tie it down, then it's a masa. It's an extra burden, and therefore you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Tosfos says, no. What's the context of the Gemara? Tosfos says, not to what? Did you ever hear, says Tosfos, an act of, or a thought of, before Shabbos, to make something into a malbush? No. That's not what determines malbush. Machshavis to determine muksa and muchan. Doesn't determine malbush. Tosfos says, no, this gemara has to do with everything we're talking about here. Tosfos in Dibur Maskal, Aval. Lav davke in yotzin, dafila taltala maser, fishena muchanim. This issue isn't going out, right? The language sounds better according to Rashi, and the svara sounds better according to Tosfos. Right? The language of in yotzin, that's why Rashi says what he says. Because yotzin is a language of hotzah and going out. But Tosfos says, when do you ever have machshava that determines to make something into a malbush? So that's why Tosfos says, it's in yotzin, it's agav resha. It just doesn't really mean it. Avol yatzav en shoachas, back to the Gemara though now, v'im yatzav ahen shoachas mibod yom. But if you actually used it, you used this bandage before Shabbos, af al pi shelo tzava v'lo karchan b'meshicha, mutter latzeis bahen. Even though you weren't so bad, you didn't do anything, you just used it, that's good enough. That's the makar for the third shita. Remember we had the three different opinions, Rav and Shmuel and Ravasi. What do you have to do before Shabbos? So Rav and Shmuel lined up exactly with the earlier Tanaim. What about Ravasi that says, you don't have to do anything, just use it. As long as you use it, you sit on it before Shabbos, that's good enough. That is this opinion if you use the bandage. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention at the beginning of the shiur today, I forgot to mention, it was pointed out after shiur yesterday, but it's true, it could be, the way I mentioned the story yesterday of Elisha Baal Kanafayim is that he opened his hands and it flew away. It doesn't actually say it was a bird. It says it was the wings of the bird. So it could just be that there were kanfeyona, right? He said, Pasha says, Yadav Nimso kanfeyona, there were wings. Could just be that there were wings there, right? That nothing flew away. You know, it's in all the picture books and the Talmudic story books, it's much more exciting to make it into a bird and it flies away. But it could just be kanfeyona, and the mishalom given is still intact with kanfeyona, just the wings. Okay, either way, I just wanted to be intellectually honest exactly what the Gemara says. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi. We continue though now where we are up to.
What is it,
Tzvia? Tzvia is if you dye it. You dye maybe just to show that it's not these raw materials anymore. Right, it's not the flax or the comb flax, that's part of the processing that you're going to use it for this bandage. Amar Rav Ashi, Afanan Amitanino, we also learned in the Mishnah later on. Again, this whole Amud takes us back to our Muksa discussions. What do you have to do to make something non-Muksa? How do we get into this? You remember, because the Mishnah is talking about Hatmana, insulation. So even though this is the Perek of insulation, we talk about Muksa items that you use for insulation. When do you say it's not Muksa anymore or not? That's what we're talking about this now, even though this Perek is mostly about Hatmana. So, says the Mishnah, Hakash al gabi amita, lo yinane abiyado. If you have straw on a bed, lo yinane abiyado, you can't move it directly. If you put straw on a bed, so that's Muksa. But you can get into bed and just move around to make yourself comfortable, right? Because that's, again, indirect movement of muksa, tiltum min hatzad, and that would be mutter. Aval imhaya ma'achal behema, but if you gather this in order to feed your animal, osha haya alav karo sadin mibodyom, or there's a pillow or a sheet on it before Shabbos, right? Rashi, sheshachav alav mi ba'od yom. Not only did you make the bed before Shabbos, you actually lay on the bed. Rashi says that because he wants to parallel it to the Tanya Nami Hachi, what we're talking about. Minaneo biyado, then it's not muksa anymore, then you can actually move it with your hand. Shema mina. Right? So you see, even using it before Shabbos, that is good enough. The Ritvier says, you don't have to actually lie on it. You treat it like a bed. When you make a bed, you're already treating it like a bed. It's lav dafka, you have to lie. Rashi says that to be exactly parallel of using it. But the other Rishonim say it could be that just using it in the normal way, of making a bed, that could be good enough. Period. Uman tana de palegalei de Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So who argues on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? Who is the one that says that it's not good enough? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says machshav is good enough. So Rabbi Chanin, meaning we didn't have we had in the Brisa, right, there was no name given to the first opinion. Right, it was anonymous. So who argues and says Machshav is not good enough? Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, the Chiyasa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Ze'iri, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Pamachas Halach, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, L'makam Echad. One time, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva went to a certain place. Is this the son of Rabbi Akiva? You know, Rabbi Akiva had sons? Unclear. Umatzachari Yoshadekel, and he found branches, shagadrim, l'shameitzim, that were collected for firewood, v'yamar lehem l'talmidav, tse'u v'chishvu, k'dei sh'neishev alayim l'machar. He told the talmidim, guys, focus on these branches, because we're going to use them tomorrow. So focus on them, and think about them, to make them muchan. V'lo yadana, and Rabbi Chanina continues, and says, I'm not sure, I forgot what the case was in that story. Ibeis ha-mishta havi, ibeis ha-avel havi. It was either a wedding, or a shiva house. There was some major event going on when he said this to his Talmidim to go think about these Eitzim. So what does that detail add for us in the story? Mida ka'amar ibeis ha-mishta havi ibeis ha-avel havi. From the fact that you see it was a wedding or an avel, it must have been dafka beis ha-avel or beis ha-mishta the tridi. It must have been that they were tarud, and that's why they were very involved. They didn't have time to actually do a maisa to these branches, and that's why they were allowed to just think about them. Aval hacha, but in a regular case where it's not a base admission, where you don't have the issue of tirda, so kasher in lo kasher lo, you would have to actually tie and not rely on just machshava. So that's a shita that says right bederach in a case where there is a certain reason, it's a tzara gadol, so then you can rely on machshava, but otherwise not. Says the Ritva, right here, once Chazal said it's muksa, so why are we make obamakam tarud? Just because it's a little difficult? Says the Ritva, Pirish, tekiva de tridi akilu rabbanan alayhu, inami de ba'alma. The Ritva says either, no, Rabbanan were just makel, or then he says alumdus. He says no. De ba'alma, why usually do we say machshava is not good enough? because the fact that you didn't do something and you only did machshava, that's megala the other way, that you're not so serious about it. That's why you usually have to do something. But, says the Ritva, if it's a case where not doing something does not reflect that you're not interested, but it's just because you're just so busy, objectively, that's why we would allow machshava. So it's not just, oh, it's a heter of wermeko. No, but it's usually machshava is megale that you're not so interested because you don't do a maisa. But in this case of tirda, where not doing a maisa is not, ava kitridi like a giluyidaita, shein machshava sam kayemes, demishim de tridi hu delo avin maisa. That's an important Ritva, just how to read the Gemara. Good. Just to mention a Mishnah Brura, also related to what we said before, in Shin Ches, that's what this discussion is, Shin Ches Chaf Beis, Shin Ches Chaf Beis, says the Shulchan Aruch, two after the one we read before. Before we read Chaf, which spoke about branches that you collected l'sreifa, they're muksa, unless you sat on them, or you did a maisa, or you thought about using them. Two halachas later is the case of the rock, that we mentioned comes up later in the Masechta. Asur lachasos pi hachavis be'even o bibikas o liskar benetadelas. You can't use a rock on Shabbos. Two, use as a doorstop, or use this, use that. Olachas ben barza, afo pi shechashim alemi bod yom, asur. Even if you thought about it before Shabbos, it is still asur. Right? Las right? Mishnah Berurah. Lasos pulos elu b'Shabbos. You can't. Velo dami lacharios. This is the stira that's spoken about by the poskim. Why by branches is thinking about it good enough, but by a rock it's not good enough? Right? Let me just finish the Shulchan Aruch. Elim came yichta lekach laolam. Until you thought about it forever and ever, you're going to use this. We didn't have that requirement by the branches case. Avalam yichta l'Shabbos zubilvad. Lo. The Chulu, and he continues. So says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting, V'lo dami, he's quoting the Magen Avram, V'lo dami l'chariyos anah. What about, why by the branches are you more makel than rocks? D'sham ika chariyos d'kaimo li'yeshiva. Because there, it's pretty common. People brought in these branches. It's pretty common to use that. Aval hacha ein derech klal lahazmin evan o bakaz l'shtamish bohen. Who uses rocks? It's very uncommon. You have to think about it before Shabbos to use it forever. Rocks are, quote-unquote, more muksa than branches, at least in Talmudic times. Because it was more common. What about Bizman Hazeh? Bizman Hazeh, branches and rocks, pretty similar. Right? Nobody uses them. It could be that branches today have the status of rocks of Talmudic times. Because now we have mattresses. We don't need branches for our beds. That's an important discussion, Lamaisa, in terms of knowing how to make something on muksa. So what I saw in the, what I mentioned before, I saw in the Mioris Hadaf, they talk about hopscotch. Hopscotch. They talk about a child's intent, right? What about a child thinking about making something hachana? So it's a machlokas achronim. Right, the Tosfos, the Shabbos, the Magen Avraham, the Prima God, we all get into the act. What if I tell a child to think about something? Does that help make it not muksa on Shabbos? Usually the das of the child is meaningless. Right, das, right, the lab, cut is a lab bar das. Is it in this regard too? What if a child tells me I did it? I thought about it before Shabbos. Right, to use these muksa items. Right, so this is an important discussion. Just derech agav, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, what about balls? The Shulchan Aruch is very machper on balls. Balls on Shabbos, in terms of muksa, even if you thought about it. The poskim talk about, if you have a ball that's made as a toy, most poskim say, even according to the Sfardim, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, you know, yesh makom lahakel, because it's made to be a mischak. It's made to be a ball, it's made as muchan. So, yeah, there are kulas, even for Sfardim. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rav Yehuda. Again, you can look at all the muksa books in terms of lamaisa, how to make things not muksa, how to be making something that is otherwise usher to use before Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda, first wide line. Machnis adam mali kupaso afar, vosav al kotzarcho. A person can bring in a whole pile of dirt before Shabbos to use on Shabbos. Why? Because let's say in the days of old when you have dirt floors, so you brought in a lot of dirt. Let's say there's a big spill on the floor. How do you clean up a big spill? So you put some extra dirt on it. That absorbs all of it, and then no more spill, right? If there's any other type of dirt. So you wanted to bring in some dirt before Shabbos in order to use it. So that's what you could do. Says Marzutra, Rabbah that you can, I'm sorry, it says Rabbi Yehuda that you could bring it in before Shabbos. Daris Marzutra, Mishpeh de Marzutra, Rabbah, Vushiyichelo Karen Zavis. As long as you put it in a nice corner, you didn't just dump it in the middle of the floor, because people might think that that's your floor now. You have to put it in the middle of a floor, and in that way, that shows that you are being mechen it. Amar Rabbana Kamei de Rav Papa, Kiman, who says that you have to do that, Kerv Shimon Gamliel. Right, it must be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Who says you're allowed to do that? Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says, thinking about it is good enough. Dikra Rabbanan, Harmi Bin and Maisa. According to the Rabbanan, we said before, by the branches, you have to tie them up. So here too, wouldn't you need a positive action to show that this is Mukhan? So Amalu Rapapa, no, Afilu Tamer Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan might agree in this case. Ad kan lo kamir Rabbanan de binan maisa eli debar avida be maisa. When do we say the Rabbanan require a maisa? By something that it's shayach to do a maisa to. You have branches, you can tie them up. That's where they require a maisa. Avomidi de lo bar mevda be maisa lo. But dirt, what are you going to do to dirt? Dirt is dirt. So there's nothing to do to dirt, so that's why you don't have to do anything. This might be the line that tipped off the Ritva that we just mentioned, that what he said. What did the Ritva say before? By something that, based tzarech, but makam tirda, it's okay. Why? Because the Ritva says, it's just the chisaron of not doing the maisa when you can, that's megala that it's really muksa. Right, so that he might have gotten it from this line. Because this line basically says that too. By something that there's no maisa shayach to be done to it, that's why it's mutter even without a maisa. So lemeket tanoi, let's suggest that this is a machlokas tanoim. What issue? By something that is impossible to do a maisa to it, so is that automatically not muksa? So, machlokas. Bakal chafetes hakelim chutz mikli kesef bagartakon. You're allowed to smooth and rub kalim on Shabbos to shine them. Bakal chafetes hakelim, except for silver kalim with gartakon. That you're not allowed to do. Why? What's the problem with that? So Rashi in the first white line says that smoothing, that type of cleansing agent with the silver material would smooth out the silver, and it would be the av malacha of mimachik, the av malacha of smoothing, Rashi says. But haneser v'chol, but other types of cleansing agents, mutter, it would be mutter to use on silver. V'hatanya nesav v'chol aser, but another brisa says it will be aser. So what's this machlokas about? Whether you're allowed to smooth and rub these cleansing agents on your silver on Shabbos. So isn't it a machlokas about muksa? My love, akamifugi. Tamar sabar, bein maisa. Maisa lo bein maisa. Maybe this neser and chol are somewhat muksa. They're not mukhan for Shabbos. So maybe that's the issue. Maybe you didn't do a maisa to them, but what maisa are you going to do to some soap? So maybe that's goof of the machlokas between these brises. So the Gemara says, no. Lo, there are other suggestions. The kuliyama lo bein an maisa. Maybe you don't need a maisa. Velo kasha harb Yehuda. Davar davashim is kavin aser. Harb Shimon davashim is kavin mutter. No, it's a machlokas. If you don't have Shimon, meaning you don't have kavana to smooth out the silver, and it might not happen with these softer agents. With the gurtakin, then for sure it's going to smooth. But with these other items, maybe you will, maybe you won't. So that's Davar Shein Miskavein. So Davar Shein Miskavein is going to be mutter according to Reb Shimon. Some bring a raya from this case. Is this a regular case of Davar Shein Miskavein? Or is this like what we've called Psik Reisha Lisha Avar? Like the Taz's case. If something's going to happen, you just don't know. Like the light on in the fridge. Is that Davar Shein Miskavein? You don't know if it's on? No. The Metzias is there. You just don't know what's going to happen. So it could be, it's not for sure, but it could be. This is like a case of psik reisha l'shavar. This is either going to smooth it or not. You just don't know. And the Gemara still calls that Darashi and Miskavin. Okay, it could be a raya to the Taz. Okay, so that is all. Second suggestion of what the machlokas is about. Again, this memachik, which Rashi brings up here, is a very large issue. We discussed it in the past when it comes to brushing teeth. Right, there is a line in Rav Moshe, in the Tshuvas, in the Igros Moshe, which is a little difficult to understand on the surface, but if you think about it, it's, just to mention that Tshuva. And that is Rav Moshe's Tshuva about brushing teeth. As we mentioned in the past, he's the most chamor about brushing one's teeth on Shabbos. Rav Moshe does not even allow you to use a toothbrush with water. He's the most chamor. Right, you have a problem with a toothbrush, you have a problem with a toothpaste, you have a problem with everything, says Rav Moshe. He's the most machmir. But it's a little short shuva in Chelek Alav Arachayim. He says, Ubedvar lenako shinayim b'shabes v'yantav im toothpaste, pashut she'aser mishum mimachik. He says it's memachek. And that's the difficulty. Memachek is usually, that's the av malacha, where you have a hard surface, which is bumpy, and you smooth it out. That's memachek. If you have a mushy, if you have a Play-Doh, if you have something like that on Shabbos, that's not the issue of memachek. That's the tolda of mimareach, of smoothing out a surface that's pliable. But memach, so what does Rav Moshe mean? If he's talking about the toothpaste, he should say memareach. And that's why when Rav Soloveitchik first heard about this tshuva, and he heard memachek, that's why he said memachek. What, is Rav Moshe referring to somebody's teeth? You're smoothing out the teeth because you're getting off the plaque? He says, that's impossible. You're not smoothing out the teeth because after 4,000 times of brushing, your teeth should disappear if you keep smoothing out your teeth. So that's why he didn't understand it. So the Talmidim told Rav Soloveitchik, no, he meant memareach. What he means is memareach. We need to smooth out the toothpaste, so then, okay, but other Rav Soloveitchik also thought that was lakula. But either way, that's already a machlokas, but that's mimachik versus memareach, again, a large topic, not for now. So in the Chashuke Chemed, he discusses here, in terms of, once Darshin Miskavin comes up, doesn't have to be spoken about here, but he talks about, if somebody, the phone's ringing on Shabbos, and it rings, and rings, and rings, and rings, and rings, and it doesn't stop ringing. And finally, I start rethinking, you know, why doesn't it stop ringing? You know, maybe it's something serious. So I pick it up with my, with a shinui, and it comes out that it was a wrong number. It was a wrong number. Do I, am I have to do tshuva for that? Is that an ones? Is that a show gig? That's Darav Shein Miskavein. That's what he talks about it here. It's not really Darav Shein Miskavein. But what's that case? What do you do there? So he says, you thought it was pikuach nefesh pashtus. It was pashtus. You know, you don't have to tshuva. You're potter, right? You thought it was you're an ones. And then he talks about cases. What happens in a case where a person picks up a phone on Shabbos or Rachmanel Islan, stam, because they're not so frum, and it ends up being pikuach nefesh. Do they have to do tshuva for that? So he brings fascinating cases, topic of a shir, fascinating cases about where a person does an aveira and it turns out not to be an aveira. Right, a person is mevashel b'Shabbos, and then there's a cholam mesukan that needs his food. So, ha'im niftar me'achiyuv. Or there's a tshuva, somebody was mezana with an eshes ish, and it came out that her husband had died already. Right, all these cases where they thought he was doing an aveira and end up that he wasn't. But rofei shenitach adam mitoch tos, rachmanel etzlan, some type of a case of medical negligence. A doctor starts operating in the wrong place of the body, right, and it ends up that he finds a tumor and saves the person's life. Does he get schar does he get paid by the insurance company? All these shilas, unbelievable. Hopefully this should never come up. But anyway, these are interesting shilas where a person has kavana for one thing, he has kavana for negligence, and then it comes out as something good. We had this case, if you remember, in the mitzvah shir years ago. We started by Midbar already, by the way. It says if somebody steals a car, he breaks into a car, he steals the car, and he starts driving away. And it was a boiling hot day, and all of a sudden he sees there's a baby in the back seat who was dehydrating, who was suffocating in the car. He drives straight to the hospital, saved the baby's life. Does he have to pay for the window? He saved the baby's life, but he didn't have that in mind. Do you go by the Kavane? Do you go by the Maisa? All interesting cases. Okay, let's continue. Second to last line. B'ma'o kimta lahat d'shari k'Rib Shimon. Who did we say that this case was mutter with? In the smoothie case, Rib Shimon. Eima seifa, but look at the next line. Avalo yachub em sairo. But you're not allowed to use these materials on your hair, because it's going to take hair out, even though you're allowed to use it with silver. V'i Rib Shimon mishra kashari. But what do you mean? If it's Rib Shimon, he should matter you to scrub your hair with this. Ditznan, because the Mishnah says in Nazir. Nazir chofefu mefas pesa v'lo sorek. A Nazir could brush his hair softly. This is during the week. A Nazir during the week is like every other Jew on Shabbos, in terms of taking out hair. So a Nazir could do it softly, have a low sorek, but he can't do it sorek with a hard brush, because that for sure is going to take out hair. But chofefu mefas pesa, that's Rib Shimon shita. So why, if it's Rib Shimon, if the machlok is Rabbi Yudan and Rib Shimon is the one that allows you to use these materials, so why wouldn't he even allow you to do it on your hair? So Ella, a third approach to what the machlokas is, Hava HaRabbi Yehuda hi, V'trei Tanoi Alibad Rabbi Yehuda. Really, it's both Rabbi Yehuda, and it's machlokas within Rabbi Yehuda. Hai Tan Alibad Rabbi Yehuda Savar Garir. One opinion holds it's for sure going to smooth it, meaning it's going to be a psikresha. It's not going to be, I'm sorry, it's at least going to be a possible Darav Shein Miskavein. I take back what I said. No, it's not going to. It's so far-fetched, it's not even in the world of Darav Shein Miskavein. Right? So even Rabbi Yehuda would matter it. Period. Just to quote, whenever combing comes up on Shabbos, got to quote the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says you have to scream about it, so I try to fulfill the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Yeshua's Yaakov at the end of Simon Shin Gimel. Ra'isi anasha mikilin lisrok rosha b'Shabbos. I've seen people who brush their hair normally on Shabbos. Ukimat nase adavar keheter etzlam. Va'oy le'inayim shekach ro'os. Woe to me that I see this. La'avar b'shat nefesh l'chal Shabbos b'yadayim. Right, when we brush our hair normally on Shabbos, hair comes out. It's an Issa Daraisa of Gozes. Uve meharoi l'chol chacham bi'iro l'hazir alzeh. Ula yishmu v'yichu musar. So the Shua is Yaakov. Every rabbi has a responsibility to announce it. So that's what we're trying to do here. Uma shemishivin shemuchar l'sakein ay. And that which they answer is, come on, I don't want to go to shul without hairbrushed. What, you do other Daraisas? Because you're embarrassed. So just use your hands and push your hair down. It's not so embarrassing. Hello, Yachalasas, Mofan Heter. There are ways to do it. Just push the hair down, use a soft brush. Whatever, there are cases to do it, but there are Heter. One doesn't want, not to be Michal Shabbos for Kavod Abrius. Right, for Durabbanans, we could get into the discussion. But not for Daraisas. Okay. But Mayu Kimta Vaiter Rebbe Yehuda. What did we just say? Okay, we switch. It's not Rebbe Shimon, it's Rebbe Yehuda. Aim a Seifa, but look at the next line. Alav Aponav Yadav Raglav Mutter. But you're allowed to use this soap for your hands, face, and feet. Hamever seyar. What do you mean, though? It's taking off hair. If you're allowed to use it upon a yadav or aglav. So even Rabbi who doesn't allow that? So you buy same a bakata. Maybe we're talking about a child who has no hair there. If you buy same a beisha. If you buy same a bisaris. Any of these people do not have hair, and therefore that's why he allows it, because the people that do not have facial hair. Amr of Yehuda, vaita other materials. Ofar levain sashari. You're allowed to use brick dust. Amr of Yosef, kuspa diyazmin shari. Also another type of a psoles of the sesame. Amr Rava, ofar pilpuli. If you crush up pepper, shari, you're allowed to use that to rub on one's face. Again, none of these are going to cause your hair to fall out. Amr of Sheshes, barda shari. My barda. Amr of Yosef, it's a mixture. Tilta olive, a tilta asav, a tilta sigli. Okay, different type of mixture of herbs in terms of what one washes the face with. Amr of Nechemi bar Yosef, kalhecha, deleka, ruba, ala shapardame. As long as it's not mostly rav ahel, which is a type of cleansing agent, it's mutter. Boy, my name Erev Sheshes. Ma'u lift so azesa b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to crush olives on Shabbos? Why would you want to crush olives on Shabbos? Rashi. Oh, actually, let's finish the Gemara first. Are you allowed to crush olives on Shabbos? Amar lahu, v'chi b'chomi hitiru. What, are you allowed to do that on a weekday? You're not allowed to even do that on a weekday. What's the issue on a weekday? Kasavar mishim hefsad ochlim. Why? Because you're ruining your food. It's bal tashchis. You're not allowed to just ruin food. You're not allowed to do that. Right, why do they used to use it? Maybe they used to use it in order to use for beautification purposes, as we'll see soon. But you're not allowed to do it. Hefsad ochlin. So lema pliga de Shmuel. Are they arguing on Shmuel, Dharma Shmuel, Osa Adam called Tzarcha Bapas? We had Bekham Zechas Brachas that you're allowed to use your bread for whatever you want. Wiping up spills and this and that. So is this a machlokas? Whether there's an issue of Hefsad ochlin? So I said, no, Amri, pas lo meisa. Pas doesn't become disgusting when you would just use it for other purposes. Hani meisi. But these crushing olives would be disgusting, and therefore you're not allowed to use it. Okay, so that is Ma'al of Soa. Look at Tosas for a minute. Ma'al of Soa Zesim B'Shabbos. He quotes Rashi. I'm just doing it here to save time. Lahakosa malasela, lamatik miri rusan. Why are you crushing up the olives? Rashi says, because they taste better when you like get them a certain texture. You smush them up a little bit, so they taste better. Right, that's what Rashi says. And the question is, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why? Mishum shavi ochla. It's tikkun ochel. It's like makeh bepatish. It's not really so edible beforehand, and now it's edible. Says to, and then the Gemara asks, are you allowed to do that on weekday? That's the flaw of the Gemara according to Rashi. Says Tosfos, why would that be hefsed ochlin? You're mushing it up in order to eat it. Why would that be a problem? That can't be a problem of bizui ochlin. You mush it up before you eat it? So Tosfos says, no, the issue isn't, and that has nothing to do with our Gemara, says Tosfos. What's that doing here? Tosfos says, what I said, what I alluded to Tosfos' chat, Ma'al of Tzor, can you crush it up in order to use that mush in order to clean your face? So that's an issue of Bizi Ochle, because there are other things to clean your face, but it's an important Rashi to be aware of, and you have to figure out why Rashi says it, so it doesn't seem to be in the flow of the Gemara. Okay? Viter. Amemar, Mazutra, Ravashi, Aviyasvi, they were all sitting. Isula, Kamayo, Barda. Barda was brought in front of them. That was this mixture mentioned earlier. Amemar, Ravashi, Mashu, they used it to wipe their hands. Marzutra, lo Mashu, he didn't. Amrule, lo Savala, Milo, Hada, Amr, Avshesh, Barda, Shari. Don't you hold this mutter? Amrule, Rav Mordechai, Barmine. No. Not, I don't, I don't follow that. The Rav Mordechai, who was a third party there, says don't make Marzutra do it. Demara afilu b'chol nami lo svir alei. Even a weekday, he says you're not able to use that. Why? Savar lo ki hada tanya. He holds like the following brisa. Megara adam gildei tzav gildei maka shal besaro bishvil tzaro. A person is allowed to take off the crust of on a wound and all this build up on a wound because he's in pain. He's in pain from what? What is he in pain from? If it hurts him, he's allowed to take it off. Or Tosas even says, if he's in pain, that it's embarrassing that it's on him. Right? You're allowed to take it off. Imbishuliyapos usser. But if it's to beautify himself, it's usser. Why? What's the issue here? Of taking crust off your face. Rashi says, lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Beautifying yourself, that's only for women. Man, lo yilbash gever doesn't just mean wearing women's clothing. But a man shouldn't be involved in beautifying themselves. That's usser. That's why that's the issue that is brought up here. The inhu, and what do the other opinions say? Kaman Savaro, who says that it's mutter? The other opinion? Right, the other two rabbis there, ki adatanya. Rochi zadam panav yadav aragla b'chol yom mishul kono. You're allowed to wash your face, hands, and feet every day for covet of your creator. What does that mean? Rashi says, right, ki b'tzalam alokim masa esa adam. So you have to take care of your body. And also, fascinating, Ha'ara Rashi says, because when people see beautiful other people, they make a bracha, shakach alo bo'olamo. So you should be a beautiful person that people can make brachas on. Okay, either way, you have to look appropriate. You have to look nice. The Meiri says, especially Talmud Chacham, he represents Torah. Be mechil Hashem if he doesn't look presentable. Shemishum shenemar, kol pa'ol Hashem l'manehu. Period. This is a huge discussion. The Ramah discusses in Shulchan Aruch and Yaradeya. The Shulchan Aruch discusses men are not allowed to look into a mirror. Can't look in a mirror. Yaradeya. Can't look in a mirror. Right? Because Beged Isha. Says the Ramah, but in a society where even men look in the mirror, and it's not looked at as Beged Isha, because this is just what makes you presentable, it's not extra beauty, then it's okay. A man shouldn't be staring in the mirror for a long time. Just look in the mirror, make yourself presentable. But taking so much care of my Gashmias, being Masalsa Basairi, maybe that is inappropriate for a man. Period. One other Ha'ara, and that is the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam in the morning talks about washing your... Let me just read the Rambam. Avo b'shachris rochitz panav yada baraglo v'yachir achis palo. In the morning before you daven, you got to wash your hands, face, and feet. Says the Ravid, lo yadati raglo v'lama. Your feet? Anybody here wash their feet? What's the Rambam talking about? But the Migdalos defends the Rambam. V'nirami diva Migdalos. He says that the Ravid forgot this Gemara. Because our Gemara says, Panav Yadav Raglav. What's the Ravid getting so excited about? Says the Kesef Mishnah, says the son of the Noda Yehuda, the end of the tshuvas of the Noda Yehuda has one tshuva by the son of the Noda Yehuda. Right? And he writes there, it said it's put there because it's, you do all the father's tshuvas, the Arachayim, Kufmem, in Maradura Tinyana, second to last tshuva, I'm sorry. So he says, you know what the Rav is bothered by? He's not bothered by a lumdus, he forgot the Gemara. He's bothered by, do we wash our feet in the morning? No, we don't. Why not? Because we wear shoes. We wear shoes! So the Rav is asking on the Rambam, in the earlier days, when they went around barefoot, they had to wash their feet. But why do we have to wash our feet in the morning? That's what the Rav is bothered by. He says, oh, maybe you could answer, well, if we're like the Kohanim, the Rashba says, in the morning we wash because we're like the Kohanim at the Kiyar, they wash their feet also. So says the son of the Rebbe Yehuda, I'm not sure if that's the reason. But either way, he says, maybe the Rambam's area, Muslim countries, they did walk around barefoot, and their feet were dirty, they had to wash them. So don't Ravid from southern France, from Provence, don't jump on the Rambam. But this might just be a technical machlokas, not a lumdish machlokas, says the son of the Noda B'Yehuda. Okay, I guess we'll stop here by the two dots, and Be'ez Hashem will continue back with Hatmana issues tomorrow as we finish up. Tomorrow, Bamet Tomnim, and we finish up. Tomorrow we talk about ice cubes. We talk about crushing ice. That's the Marazkin Gemara. The last few lines of this parak are crucial, and then we get into Hotsa'a. Back to Hotsa'a for a couple of prakim. Bamet Behema. Okay, we'll stop here. I hope to try to give another Ian Shear today. Be'ez Hashem, I think a summary of Hatmana. We've discussed a lot of the issues, but just to put it into perspective, I think a summary of Hatmana, I will be there.